Hello, and welcome back to our Live from KBIA discussions we're hosting here for community connection and conversation over the airwaves each day at this time and this place. Thank you for joining us. I think we can all agree that this is a stressful time, having our normal routines thrown out the window during a stay-at-home order. Meanwhile, many people don't even have that luxury. We are losing jobs, dealing with illness right now. But even for those of us at home, things that used to be routine, like sending kids to school, putting away the groceries, have become stressful. And on top of worrying about staying physically healthy during a disease outbreak, many of us are struggling with a different kind of health problem, managing our mental health during crisis. For today's live community check-in, we are talking to Dr. Lane Young-Walker. She's a psychiatrist at MU Health, and she'll be speaking to us about healthy ways to cope during a pandemic. You can join the discussion today. Like every day, is all of this getting you stressed out? It's important to reduce stress right now in order to stay healthy, but it's hard to do. So what are you doing to make yourself and your family members feel okay? But quickly, before we get to Dr. Young-Walker, we want to talk to Dr. Christopher Sampson. Dr. Sampson is with MU's Emergency Medical Services. He's an ER physician and the program director at MU's Emergency Medicine Residency. Dr. Sampson, thank you for taking the time today to talk with us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
First of all, where are you talking to us from, Dr. Sampson?
I'm currently actually in my office at the medical school.
Okay. Well, let me start with a really general question, Dr. Sampson. How are things going? How are you preparing? And what is your day-to-day like at the moment?
Today, actually, I'm not working clinically, so just working more on policies and pathways for treating patients who will be coming in with coronavirus. And pretty much we are sort of preparing the ED for what we expect to be an incoming large number of patients over the next few weeks.
Okay. Can you break that down a little bit? What is the nature of your preparations? And also, what are the projections? What are you expecting over the next couple of weeks?
Nature of the preparations is a lot of this is sort of clinical management of these patients. Since this is a new disease, there's constantly sort of changing information that's coming out, entailing sometimes how to treat these patients, how the patients present. So one of my sort of almost daily jobs is kind of taking all that information, which is coming from many different sources. A lot of EM physicians are very active actually on social media, so that's how a lot of reports are coming across, but then also the medical journals are putting out information in a pretty rapid fashion as well.
Yes, I can imagine. It's very, very difficult to keep up with. What you are preparing to see people presenting in the ER, and you say that you are seeing people presenting with symptoms in the ER, you should only be seeing people with really serious symptoms, correct? How is the drive-by testing going, the drive-through testing sites? Do you feel comfortable with the amount of patients you're seeing present with symptoms in the ER?
Yeah, the drive-by testing has been very successful. We've had a large number of patients that have gone through that and been served that way. The staff running it have done a great job at
Okay, bear with us for a moment. This is the joy of doing remote live radio. Dr. Sampson, his call has just dropped on us there, but we are going to get him back very quickly. Just a call out to you. We are talking to Dr. Christopher Sampson right now. He's an ER physician. He also is the director of MU's Emergency Medicine Residency. He is on the front lines with this. Many of us are worried about frontline providers and how they're faring right now. So if you have a question for Dr. Sampson, let us know what that is, and we will work to get Dr. Sampson back on the line. It might just take a few minutes, but we will bring him back in when we have him. Meantime, let's go back while we're waiting for Dr. Sampson to rejoin us. Let's go back to the topic for today, how we're staying mentally as well as physically healthy during this crisis. We have with us today to talk about this MU psychiatrist Lane Young-Walker. Let us know how you're doing. You can join this call as well, 573-882-9136. Dr. Young-Walker, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. So, you know, this is like Dr. Sampson was just saying from the ER. Everything about this is very new. And probably like nothing you've ever seen before. As a psychiatrist who deals with people all the time, trying to stay mentally healthy, what are you observing about the situation right now and how people are coping?
Well, you know, this is a situation and a time, like you said, that is really, we've never had anything like it. And so people are sometimes trying to figure out how to respond to it. We get information overload through the news and social media that often increases people's anxiety and fears.
Yes. So what do you, are you seeing patients, by the way, who are dealing with this? Are you seeing more complaints about the anxiety and fears about this? It is impossible not to be stressed out by this. But is this something that you're having lots of discussions with clients about? Okay, and I think that we have lost the call with Dr. Lane Young-Walker as well. Let me just remind people that you are listening to KBIA's Noontime Check-In. This is live radio. Everything's by remote. It's funny, I've been listening to 1A, Chris Husted, and I, the producers, are noticing that they are also having calls dropped. So this is something that seems to be happening on NPR and wherever you're listening at the moment. So just bear with us. People are able to call in and join the discussion. So I believe we will get our guests back with us. And I do have a caller who wanted to join us. I think the name is George calling from Columbia. George, how are you doing? Did you have a question?
I'm doing quite well, Janet. I just wanted to mention my new coping mechanism.
Okay.
And, well, here I am, you know, I've had some minor experience cooking over the years, you know, working in various restaurants over the years. But this has been a fantastic time for me to, you know, do things which I've never done before in the kitchen. And I'm having a blast doing it because, you know, I can throw away my mistakes and I eat the good stuff and I'm all alone. And it's helping me cope. The podcasts that are out there, you know, I normally listen to while I'm, you know, eating breakfast or lunch. And then dinner, I sit in front of the television and just watch something there or watch a movie on YouTube. But there are a variety of ways other than that also that... I've been coping. The cat is infinitely more attracted to me now. I mean,
yes.
I'm paying her very close attention to her and her grooming. She's actually getting brushed twice a day now.
All right.
I'm getting organized. But the thing of it is, you've got to stay busy. You got to stay moving. When you get to age 60, and I think the good doctor would agree with me, get out, walk around, stay moving if you can. Because that's gonna keep you alive. And always, there is something that no human being is perfect, but we can always refine our space, right? And I've been doing all my kitchen cleaning and, you know, laundry and special cleaning. I actually re-threaded a drawstring on a pair of sweatpants the other day. And it was, you know, you get these little things out of the way that are time-consuming hassles in life. And then when you complete them, you're very happy with yourself.
Yeah, well, George Davis, thank you so much for calling in. You've given us a lot to think about. And we do have Dr. Lane Young-Walker on the line again. And Dr. Young-Walker, it sounds like George is calling in with some really great advice. He's alone, but he's keeping busy. He's keeping some routines. He's spending time with his cat. What do you think? Does that sound like a healthy, some healthy coping going on there? Dr. Young-Walker, I'm not sure if Dr. Young...
I'm here.
Yeah, no, you are here. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Definitely
there are some things that can be done that people can help them through this process. The first includes trying to have a routine, trying to set some structure to the day, getting up at the same time every day and having your breakfast, a regular, healthy, balanced meal, then going out and doing something in your home or in your yard that's active. So trying to stay active through exercise or some sort of activity. Also, sleeping and getting good rest is very important.
Okay. What other, you're hearing, and we're all hearing from George on some of his coping mechanisms. What else would you say? Is this what the sort of thing that you're telling clients about, how to stay healthy, the routine, the structure? What other coping strategies are you suggesting?
I think it's really important, even though you may be, in your home and alone, there are ways to reach out that we didn't have years ago. There's the ability to FaceTime or Skype, or engage with your family or friends in ways that didn't happen maybe as much in the past that might help you not feel so alone.
Yeah, this is something I wanted to ask you about as well, Dr. Young-Walker, the physical isolation. We're kind of in the early stages of the social distancing and self-isolation. Do you have ways of coping with this that can increase anxiety? Zoom family get-togethers are really a big thing right now, I think. How can people cope with increased anxiety? And also, do you feel like this could become more of a problem as the days go on with this?
So there are people that prior to COVID-19 had diagnoses such as ADHD, anxiety, depression, already had mental health challenges that they were dealing with and addressing through treatment. And so when you add this on to maybe a pre-existing mental health condition, it might worsen some of the anxiety or some of the depression because of the social isolation. So it's really important for those people who may have had pre-existing conditions that they continue their treatment. And in mental health, there are many providers or continuing treatment through Zoom technology or video conferencing so that they can continue to take care of those people who had some symptoms before. And then when this is over, whether you had a pre-existing condition or not, people are going to have to readjust. And there will be some ongoing sequelae or factors that are contributing to how they engage once this is over. So if the anxiety won't just go away for some. So it will be important for people to really pay attention to that, to listen to that, and to seek help and assistance for that.
Okay. You are listening to KBIA's New Time Weekday Daily Check-In. We're talking with MU Health Psychiatrist Lane Young-Walker. You can call us with your questions or comments for Dr. Young-Walker. Let us know, how have you been taking care of yourself in these uncertain times? Have you found ways to adjust to the new normal? Dr. Young-Walker, you know, one thing that I hear a lot about is just how uncertainty can play a big part in this. I think this is particularly true with teens that are at home instead of graduating, with college students that are at home instead of being at school. And for everyone, I think uncertainty is difficult to deal with. What do you recommend for people that are healthy ways to cope with uncertainty right now?
You know, there are some things in life that we can't change, so we can't take that uncertainty away, but we can try to create some things that are more certain. We can try to make sure we're aware of things that will reduce our risk, prevention measures such as hand washing and some of the isolation. Make sure that we're doing those things to protect ourselves. And then try to create a new normal, a new certainty. So maybe now you're not getting up to go to school anymore, but you have online learning. So you have some way that you put in a schedule that you're going to do things at certain times to help you have some control. The uncertainty and lack of control are part of the things that really spur the anxiety. And so, you know, there are times actually we can take the situation we're in and create something good out of it. So maybe prior to this, life was so busy that you didn't have time to sit down and play a game as a family. And now you can have game time and you can put it into a structure into your week so that every day at this time, we're going to hang out and play games together. That creates a little bit more certainty too. And the one thing that is certain is that this will not go on forever. It will end. And so having that knowledge that, yes, this is really hard right now, but it will get better.
Thank you for that encouragement, Dr. Young-Walker. We're talking to Dr. Lane Young-Walker, a psychiatrist with MU Health, who's telling us, this too shall pass. It's going to get better. It's going to go away. But for now, find some things that are good in your life that's going on and highlight those and keep some structure going on. And we're also hearing from you, listeners, who are calling in, letting us know how you're getting by in this time. By the way, we will get back to our ER physician and director, Dr. Christopher Sampson, before this program is out here in the next few minutes. So you can also bring us your questions for Dr. Sampson. But let me go to a caller calling in. Ashley is calling from Columbia with wanting to respond with some ideas about what her family is doing right now to stay happy and healthy. Ashley, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what's going on with you? How is your family doing during this time? And how are you staying mentally and physically healthy?
Well, some of the things that you guys were talking about earlier, we're keeping a schedule. We're getting up at the, trying to get up at the same time every day. Well, and I have four kids. And so, you know, the bickering and the arguing can get pretty intense. So in their schedule, they've got, I've put in like recess and we have movie night and game night. But the fun thing that we did was they really wanted to see their grandparents. Both sets of grandparents live here in Columbia too. And one of them has had cancer and just, you know, very compromised. And so the kids put together a little talent show. And so we drove over to their house. We practiced for 2 days. And that took up a lot of their time. And they were working together. And it was like a really positive thing because they're trying to make grandma and grandpa happy. And they would get to see them. And so we drove over to their houses and we set up like a little stage on their driveway. And they put on a puppet show and they did a comedy sketch and we did like a dance routine and, you know, just that kind of thing and the grandparents really appreciated that.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for calling us with that story. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
And Dr. Young-Walker, what do you think about that? That's a really creative story that Ashley had about some very lucky grandparents. That's kind of taking care of a couple of things, providing some connection for a family, but also providing some productivity and a sort of art project for the kids.
Yeah, I agree. That's a wonderful kind of innovative and creative way to do many things, to be able to help in the day-to-day in the home, but then also to really support the grandparents who they can't spend time with.
Sure. Let's go to another call. We have Julie on the line calling from Jefferson City. Julie, how are you doing with your family? And did you have a question or a comment for Dr. Young-Walker?
Yeah. Hi. Yes. I have a comment. I'm in the Jefferson City area, and I heard on your program earlier that there were groups in Columbia that were willing to reach out and help people in need to deliver food or groceries or medicine. And I didn't know if there was a group here in Jefferson City that needed the same kind of assistance for people to help out people that were in need, or maybe if somebody would be able to call in, you could have that information on your show tomorrow.
Okay, yes. Thank you so much, Julie. I appreciate the question. Dr. Young-Walker, do you have any idea what the answer to that question might be?
As far as activities in Jefferson City, I'm not aware. And these are more geared towards basic needs versus mental health, correct?
I think so, yes.
Right. No, I'm not aware. I'm sorry.
Well, we will, for Julie and others who are wanting to know, I think that's a great question. We do have our show on Monday at noon. We'll be talking to some city representatives and others who are working on resources for those who are in need and also ways that people in the community can help, which I think is what Julie is asking about as well. So that will be a big discussion on Monday. So anybody interested in that, feel free to join us for that. Dr. Young-Walker, you know, Ashley's call made me realize too that, you know, for families, being in the four walls with families, if you have the luxury of being at home with your family right now, there's a lot to be grateful for if you are in that situation. But it also can be stressful. People are going from, you know, working in very busy corporations and in jobs to suddenly being the chief caregiver for young kids. And with all the stress going on, you know, what coping mechanisms do you think are particularly good for families and parents?
Well, I think it's important because the children are watching everything that's going on right now, and children will be at different developmental stages. You may have a 4-year-old or a 17-year-old. And so it's really important that the family spend some time just really communicating. I'm sure there are lots of questions that the children have, and they may not be getting those answers. So trying to have time just to sit down and talk about what's going on.
Yes.
From the perspective of the parent and what they know and what they don't know, and being really honest about what they don't know. But that no matter what is there as far as uncertainty, you can be certain that my job, my role is to keep you safe, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. And that will help to resolve some of the fears and worries that maybe the children are having, if that they feel like and know they can really communicate openly about what's going on, and they can share their feelings with their parents.
All right. That's great advice. You're listening to our live noontime check-in. We're speaking with MU Health psychiatrist Dr. Lane Young-Walker about mental health during a pandemic, how we're holding up, what we're doing to feel good as mentally, as well as to stay healthy physically. And we also want to go back to our ER physician who has been kind enough to take the time to join us, Dr. Christopher Sampson, who is an ER physician with MU Health and also directs a lot of our planning for ER services with MU Health. Dr. Sampson, thank you for your patience and welcome back. Would you like to continue with what you were saying about how preparations are going from your vantage point and where you are?
Yeah, sure. I think I got cut off. We were just kind of talking about where you're just sort of preparing for the what we expect will be a large number of patients. So a lot of that is sort of taking the best information out there so far that we can obtain from either people who are currently taking care of these patients in other places in the country and the world, and then what the medical journals are also saying.
Okay. You know, a lot of people are worried about the shortages of PPE, the personal protective equipment. How are you feeling about that as far as preparations, and what is your department doing on that front?
So it's definitely a concern throughout the country. Currently at our hospital, we are adequately stocked with PPE, but again, it always depends on the amount of patients that will come in and how much we will need, that there's probably at some point there will be a demand everywhere. We just know that based on looking at other places where people have ran out of PPE because of the large number of patients they've had to take care of. But I know our hospital leadership is doing the best to try to make sure we will keep well stocked.
Okay. You were mentioning, Dr. Sampson, that people are coming in occasionally with symptoms, although the drive-through testing mechanisms you feel like are working well to keep those numbers down. What does happen when someone comes in with symptoms and does not seem to have taken a test to confirm?
If someone presents to the emergency department, currently we are screening patients immediately. Before they at the parking lot, there's a tent out front, and based on what their symptoms are, we have people that we have maybe have concern that they would have coronavirus infection. They are sent to a separate side of the ED that we've sort of marked off for those type of patients in order to kind of contain spread of infection. Then they are seen by a provider. They're screened at that point using similar screening that we would use in our virtual visits. A lot of patients are able to, we do testing there in the ED and then send the patient home, and then their results are called to them in a follow-up phone call, often the next day.
Okay. How would you say, Dr. Sampson, that the frontline physicians and nurses and providers are doing generally? Has anyone with the emergency department tested positive, and how are people, are they feeling prepared? What would you say the morale is like? How are people doing?
I'd say right now morale is good. I mean, I think it's part of that is the feeling that we have prepared for this, and so I think that's helped a lot. I think also helping out with morale has been the community support in many different aspects. So that's been through food donations to the emergency department. That's been through people putting sort of uplifting messages in chalk outside the steps going into the parking garages where people park who work there. So, yeah, I think a lot of the increased morale is from both inside and outside from in the community.
All right. You know, I think a big question a lot of people have, they're concerned about our frontline providers. Is there anything that we in the community can do for frontline providers?
I think right now, just being supportive and also following health recommendations. So I think by observing social distancing, good hygiene, such as hand washing, as Dr. Young-Walker mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. All those things help prevent people from getting ill, which then hopefully prevent people from having to come to the hospital.
All right. Last question for you, Dr. Sampson, and I think Dr. Young-Walker may have some advice that we can get from her after we let you go back to your extremely busy schedule. But what preparations are you making personally to stay safe? And I don't know if you have family members, but to feel safe. And how are you and other providers, in line with our topic of the day, staying mentally healthy?
Again, I think a lot of that is through good contact with family. I think being able to see your family at the end of the day helps a lot with that. Getting adequate sleep and eating healthy, kind of just general normal good guidelines are all those things. And then to stay healthy, I mean, I just in general, I make sure that at the end of the day, after I've worked, I'm not bringing any of my dirty scrubs or shoes back into my home to potentially spread infection there. So just having a good sort of post-work decontamination process helps with that, too.
All right. Dr. Christopher Sampson, thank you so much for joining us today. Best of luck with you.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. All right. And we've got a little bit of time, Dr. Young-Walker, for just a final thoughts that you might have. You just heard us talking to Dr. Sampson. Whether it's families at home or frontline workers, we've just got about 30 seconds. What would your last words be for us to stay mentally healthy during this time?
I would say that definitely keep in mind that this is a temporary situation. It will get better.
Yes.
And during this temporary situation, let's line out several things we can do to stay healthy and well.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Young-Walker, for joining us. That's all for today's Live from KBIA Check-In. Thank you, Dr. Lane Young-Walker and Dr. Christopher Sampson, for taking time to join us today. Thank you for being here and checking in. As usual, if you're listening and needing help, there are lots of resources you can go to. By the way, we had a question about Jeff City resources. Our producer, Christopher Husted, says we'll put those online at kbia.org later by early evening if you want to see some of those Jeff City resources. We'll continue the discussions on resources available on Monday. Tomorrow, we'll talk about reading through crisis, arts, reading. What are the things that are helping you find meaning and get by, maybe a little bit of escape as well during this time? This program is produced by Christopher Husted and me, with KBIA News Director Ryan Familiner, Zia Kelly, Madison Conti, and Hannah France. KBIA's health reporting is produced by Sebastian Martinez-Valdivia and Rebecca Smith. Check out their reporting and KBIA's live blog with regular updates at kbia.org. If you didn't get a chance to call in today, you can call our voicemail at 877-532-0971. We'll also have that at kbia.org. And for more community and conversation over the airwaves, meet us back here tomorrow at noon, same time, same place. I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.